Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about how to minister in the supernatural gifts, and we're finishing up the different steps that you can take to make this an objective process. So instead of just trying to do, you know, an approach that's based on hit or miss, we kind of want to make things a plan so we can objectively measure how we're doing, where we have questions. One of our goals is to be able to focus on hearing from the Lord rather than paying too much attention to procedure. Instead of practicing till we get things done right, we want to practice until we can't get them wrong. In other words, it becomes second nature to us. And what those things are that we're practicing is not necessarily these steps, but learning to hear from God. So the steps are to hopefully take out stress. Okay, what do I do next here? How do I handle this objection? How do I handle this situation? And rather than being distracted by that, we want to be able to hear from the Lord, because we know next we're going to deal with this. Next we'll be able to, in other words, say something happens that unexpected during a ministry time and you don't know how to handle it. Instead of getting concerned about, okay, how is this, my not knowing what to do and the Lord not telling me, how is this going to impact that the other person's life? What am I supposed to do about it? How come I can't figure this out? Instead, we know that we're going to be able to put it in that slot of going back and evaluating, you know, whether we put it under studying or training or review, that, okay, we can sort of step back from the situation and say, okay, make a mental note. I'm going to think about this weekend when I review what happened this night. And so then we can just let it go. We don't have to try to think about, okay, what happened? What went wrong? Because we've already assigned it a space. We've already assigned it a place where it's going to be dealt with and addressed. So that's really the purpose for the steps, is to start looking at the process objectively. And for you, if you want to change the order of things, if you want to consolidate or break, make it, instead of, you know, 9 steps, make it 20 or 2, it doesn't matter. Because it's not the steps that are important, it's doing it. And if only having 2 steps helps you to keep from being distracted, so you can just focus on hearing from the Lord, that's great. If you need 20 steps that will free you up, knowing, okay, this is the structure of what I'm doing, this is the job description of how I'm going about doing this particular facet of this ministry so that while you're ministering, you can just hear from the Lord. And that ministering isn't necessarily going to be in the context of dealing with other people. It can just be intercession. It can just be between you and the Lord. So we don't, again, the steps are for freedom, not restriction. And we don't use these steps against ourselves or others. This is not about memorizing the different steps, unless you want to. You can start here and build on it or accept it at face value. This is merely a structure to start getting you a handle on being objective about learning how to minister. One of the things hopefully you'll be able to come away with is the assurance that you can do this. It doesn't take somebody with super spiritual gifting to minister. It takes someone who knows how to hear from God. And I can guarantee that if you have been reborn as a spirit being, born again, in your spirit, you are hearing from God. I guarantee it, because that's part of the definition. Spirit and spirit are the same thing. You are hearing from God in your spirit. Again, it goes back to our soul is the problem. Our soul wants to maintain control and has built up those crutches and that brick wall between soul and spirit. And in your spirit, you are cooperating and fully joined with God as spirit, tackling that wall, removing those crutches. We can't control or dictate to God what he deals with. So rather than struggle with, okay, God, I want to deal with this. And sometimes there's a time when he alerts us this is where we're going to be dealing with, and so we can join him. But you can't tell him what to be dealing with. But we can always be working on being with him, knowing him, hearing his voice, enjoying his company, and then letting him make the changes, letting him do the work, letting him reveal himself to us, letting him open our eyes, heal our wounds, remove our flesh, sharpen our hearing. The stiller we are, the more at rest we are, the freer he is to do what he wants to do in us without hurting us more. One of his, because he is a merciful and gracious God, he doesn't want to hurt us unnecessarily. And when we fight what he's doing, if it's time to remove something from our lives and we are clutching it, he has to rip it out of our arms. But if he's had the chance to say, your time with this is done, and we have confidence of his love for us, and we can hear him clearly, we are willing to release what he wants to remove. Not that it doesn't hurt. Not that there isn't pain and sometimes grief there. But we can understand how much worse it would be if we fight him. So we focus on those things that we can do. And learning to rest, cultivating that quiet lifestyle, being with God, enjoying his presence, hearing his voice, being able to test it. Then we start from there and learn how to overcome our enemies. And there are, we do have supernatural enemies. And one of the reasons there are our enemies is because we are so afraid not only of our supernatural enemies, but of the supernatural realm. Now, whether you realize it or not, you are engaged in the supernatural realm right now. Whether you have an awareness of it or not, there are supernatural beings probably in your room, in your car, wherever you are. We don't want to be ignorant of either our enemies, our supernatural enemies, or our supernatural friends. So one of the ways to take away distracting fear is to treat the supernatural realm merely as a training exercise. This is something to study, to learn how to function, how the supernatural realm functions, what laws are in effect there. Are they exactly the same as in the natural realm? What about the spiritual realm? That's one of the things we need to really be reminded of, that they're three different realms. The natural, the supernatural, which super is just above, so the natural, then the above natural, then the spiritual. That the spiritual and the supernatural are two very different realms. They have two different kinds of authority. And the more we learn the difference, and that as spirit beings, you and I have authority in the supernatural realm that we need to learn how to exercise. You've got it. You don't need to get the authority. Again, if you're a spirit being, you have the authority. But you need to learn how to exercise it, how far it extends, how it works, how to develop your own spirit judgment, always independence on God. Not that you're going to be making decisions apart from him, but he wants you to grow up into all things so you can learn to rule and reign now. He wants you to have the mind of Christ. In your spirit, you do now, but in your soul, in your mind, your will, and your emotions, they have been disconnected from your spirit for so long and are just now learning how to receive the eternal life that is available in your spirit. God has wonderful things for us, for each one of us as individuals, and for what he wants to do in this day and age. He's going to do it whether we're ready or not. but I want to be ready. I want to be able to enjoy and participate in what God is doing, rather than have to focus on trying to hear him or evaluate, is this God moving? Wait a minute, that's never happened on this earth before. That can't be God. Well, we need to be able to know what's from him. And by learning how to minister in the gifts that are already within you, you will sharpen your senses. You will increase your ability to hear his voice. And you will nurture the love and compassion that you already have within you for other people, believers and non-believers. Because we remind ourselves over and over again how much God loves. It's not about anybody deserving it, or that God sees you through the veil of the blood of Christ. But it is God's nature to love. Period. Now, he made you loved, fully deserving of love, and fully receiving of love. But that's because he loves. It's sometimes the simplicity of his motivation that trips us up. Things simple. God loves you. He wants the best for you. Find out what that is and enjoy it. Enjoy the trip. Doesn't mean it's all going to be easy or we're not going to make mistakes. Even getting our wounds healed is going to involve some measure of pain and discomfort. Yeah, so what? Again, it's either going to be through our cooperation with him, or he's going to do it anyway and have to take things from us. I'd much rather cooperate with him and enjoy the process. So just as a reminder, here are the steps we've been talking about. You first, and this is in general, you desire the gifts that God has for you to be operating in at any given time. If you have something on your heart that you think he wants you to be ministering in and learning, you ask him, Lord, is this from you? Is this the direction you want me to go in? And depending on that, you say, okay, I'm going to learn how to do this, so that you can go into it with confidence. But then you desire, it's like, okay, I'm going to take this seriously. I believe that you want me to study this. You want me to minister in this gift. So I'm going to take it seriously and do it. So you know that as things come up, he is there going through this with you. He is going to have whatever training, whatever answers, whatever circumstances and opportunities that you need in order to learn how to minister in that particular gift. Likewise, there may be some of these things he may not need you to learn how to do nearly to the degree that we do. We think, okay, if we're going to minister in the gifts, there's going to be an international ministry built around that. That's just not true, because that's not the purpose. Because, by the way, just so you know, God doesn't need your help. If he wanted to heal, physically heal, everybody in the world, right now he could do it. he wanted to bring everybody into a salvation experience right now, everybody in the world, he could do it right now. Without your help, without my help, without anybody's help. Back 2,000 years, he did it without anybody's help. Now, it was such a big job, he came himself. But nobody helped. He did it. And so this is not about, okay, if we don't do something, God can't do something. That's just not true. What we are doing, depending on God, learning to hear his voice, getting our wounds healed, that's for us. That's for us and God. Because God wants you whole. And we want to be whole. We want to be complete, entire, and free, and healed. Isn't this great? We're both on the same page. And when we're yoked with him, we know there's going to be a good outcome. It will be good for us. We will be glad we've done it. So the desire, the gifts that God has for you right now. So step number one is to acknowledge that the gifts that are available and working in you are going to be used in dependence and cooperation with the Lord. In other words, they're not something he gave to you and said, okay, now you figure out how to do it. It's like, no, we're going to learn how to use it. We're going to learn how to minister. You and God. Me and God. Second is be available. Take it seriously. There's going to need a lot of, you're going to have to put in a lot of time. Any training, anything worthwhile takes time. So be available 24 hours a day. God might want to teach you something at an inopportune time. So set aside, okay, from now on, Lord, I want to learn how to do this. Whenever you want to teach me, I'm available. Then study. As with any new venture, set your mind. You're going to be learning about self-control and discipline and being able to develop your own judgment and how to say no, how to say yes. It's going to be a lot of changes involved. And the more you can take it, again, objectively and study, there may be things that the Lord needs you to do research and find out things. You know, if he starts giving you words of knowledge that pertain to other countries, he might say, you know, I'd like you to be more familiar with some geography. Maybe not, but maybe. You ask him. Same way with healing. He might want you to get more familiar with diseases or how the body works. Or maybe not. So you ask him. So step four is training. Ask the Lord for training in that specific gift. He will provide it. But then we also want to recognize that there's going to be challenges as you go for that training. That there's, in the situation you're in, odds are your learning to minister are not going to be met with open arms and wholehearted support, because people want you to do things the way they do it. God may not want that. So you'll have to accept that part of that training is to learn to do things God's way and not necessarily somebody else's way. Then there's practice. Look for opportunities to practice throughout the day. Then six, review. Set up a regular schedule to review your progress and ask the Lord about opportunities that may be coming up. Number seven is adjust. Because we're all in the learning process, we all make mistakes. And so we want to be willing to adjust how we do things. Not conform to somebody else's demands, but recognize, we may recognize things about our character, our our temperament, and we do want to take into consideration our audience. We remind ourselves God loves these people. What would be the loving thing to do in this situation? And sometimes we may not feel loving, and sometimes our temperament is not the most loving thing in the world, but we're going to let God's love flow to us and through us. So one of the big challenges we have is overcoming the abuse of the gifts, because we are often judged by how others have used the gifts. Oh, and just to quickly run through these last two that we're going to get to. Number 8 is instruct and encourage others, and then 9 is just repeat. But we're going to overcome the abuse of the gifts by doing it right over and over and over again. Now, the manifestation of these gifts in our lives are not a basis of proving or disproving our acceptance with God. In other words, because you can minister in a gift doesn't mean that other people can assume that you are closer to God than they are. But by rejecting his gifts, we reject his lordship, his sovereignty over our lives. And we are actually rebelling against his training by being unwilling either to change or make mistakes. We say no to God when we say we don't want to learn how to minister in the gifts because we might get hurt, we might make a mistake, it might affect other people, we might get kicked out of our church. None of those are good enough reasons to say no to God. To say, God, this is more important than depending on you. So step number 8 is instruct and encourage others. Be willing to be used to be an example and instructor to others of functioning in the gifts from dependence on the Lord alone. In other words, you have experience knowing God. That's going to trump what other people may have in, maybe they went to a particular school or they have a special technique. And they maybe even have a God-given gift where they don't have to depend on God as much, seemingly. But you want to do it through depending on God in that place of rest. This will challenge you to be both bold in making mistakes and being willing to be rejected, as well as receiving ministry from the Lord, his direction, instruction, correction, and feedback. Learning to be corrected by God. Now, sometimes he'll do that directly. Sometimes he will use people and circumstances. But as your confidence grows, know that the Lord will draw others to what he is doing in you and through you. You will also need to learn how to accept recognition from others. Because you have done the work, your response to the praise of others is not the false humility of, well, it's all God, give him all the praise. You know, I'm only here, you know, I'm just a vessel, you know, just a tool he uses. Instead, you can just say thanks. Because part of the training of others will be to train them to honor those to whom honor is due. And in some cases, because of the willingness to do the work, the willingness to depend on God, and the willingness to make mistakes, that honor will be due to you. And you'll have to learn how to accept it. So we'll totally finish up next week and start the new series we're going to go into, which is Challenges to Knowing and Hearing from God Specifically. And again, hopefully by now you're spending time with him, you're hearing from his voice, and you're starting to recognize the gifts that he wants to be training you in particular, and looking for opportunities and be following these steps. As always, if you have any questions or feedback or anything you want to even share, any experiences you're having, drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio. So we'll pick it up here next Sunday as well. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of the Rainers Club. Until next weekend, have a great night.